and you don't know something from 1947, don't look at me.
Well, she's in there with the champ.
What can I do, Michael?
That's a 20-footer.
25. All 3 tons of them.
It's unreal.
What the fuck are we watching?
You knock him down. Why don't you try to knock the boot down now?
There's 12 pizzas for 15 people, most of which are kids.
It's impressive. They do. The timeline's amazing. Oh, Father, look at the goose. Can I stroke it more? Can I stroke it, Father? Look at me stroke it.
25.
You asked me to leave my Nissan in the driveway so we can drive around a Ferrari the whole day. I'm in.
Yo, what's up? Baby, let's go!
You are listening to Tingle Classic Movies here on The Podcastle. Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Tingle.
You get a pizza. You get a pizza.
Yeah, and Kevin didn't get any. So there's no more appropriate time, Michael, to talk about Christmas movies than the weekend of July 4th, which is what, I don't know what I'm doing, but we got a good show, man. It's Tingle Classic Movies, and what are we talking about today?
Well, we could talk about, you know, summer movies or 4th of July films, or I don't know if one's different than the other.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I put together a little summer, like just some little notepad sheet of like some summer movies that come to mind. And I'm on the precipice of watching Jaws for the second time in a week because I love that movie. And I jumped the gun and watched it like Monday. So then yeah. I watched Jaws 2 and Jaws 3. And now it's like, might have to do it again.
25.
You actually sat through Jaws 3?
I actually turned. Okay, Jaws 2 I sat through. Jaws 3 I sat down for. And I started distracting myself like 20 minutes in with the cats. With the occasional like looking up to see like what was happening, but that movie, that's a bad movie.
Yeah, it's rough. It's
25.
Like, what were they thinking? First of all, sharks aren't at like they're at water parks and like SeaWorld and stuff. But they're not like attractions. They're not like Shamu.
right. Yeah. And they don't have. They don't. Yeah, there's like sharks there, but they're not like vengeful, you know. And maybe they are. I don't know. I don't think so. But they. The whole premise was the shark got into the park through like the water gate, the gate that closed, you know, between the two waters.
Right.
And it's like just from a logistics point of view, wouldn't it be easier to just like leave it open and let the thing get out? I mean, I know there's like dolphins in there, but at that point, like let's throw the baby out with the bathwater, you know? Instead, I don't know. There's just so many problems with it, but I mean, just to go from Jaws 1 to that movie, it's unreal.
To go to Jaws 4, you haven't even mentioned. I've never actually heard you mention Jaws 4. And there's probably good reason for that. I mean, the shark roars. There's a roaring shark. Sharks don't roar.
No. No, and the shark growled. I'd never knew this before, but in Jaws 3, when they show a few of the close-ups when like the divers are trying to repair the underwater tunnel, you hear like a... that wouldn't even be audible underwater, first of all, the way it was like cut in there. But they don't have vocal cords. So Jaws 4 I've only seen once. And it was recently. It was like in December or something. And somebody's like, you've never seen Jaws 4? I'm like, no, I don't think I will. They're like, you have to. I was like, yeah, I guess I do. So I watched that. That's another amazing movie.
Yeah, I it was one of those like Quest for Peace. Where like because it came out like 1988 and I was like 7 like Jaws. I didn't know it, but I just watched it a bunch of times. And to the point where, like, when Michael Caine started doing, like, awesome things, like, you know, the Batman trilogy and, like, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels and even, like, A Muppet's Christmas. To me, he was a guy from Jaws 4.
Yeah, that's funny. And I looked up, like, trivia on Jaws 4, and I wanted to see what like the cast thought about it. And Michael Caine said in an interview, like, he thought it was, he knows it's a bad movie, but he said at the same time he bought like a house in the Bahamas with it. So he's like, I love Jaws 4, you know, like I got like a house out of it or something like that, which is what all that, those kind of movies were for those stars. It's like, just, I'll get something out of this. But like Jaws,
what about the rest of us?
What about the Jaws though? The like original is to me like one of those perfect movies. It's just, it's got the best dialogue. It's a revolutionary landmark film. It's really the first blockbuster, right? Kind of.
When you think of how it was done, man, they and I mean Spielberg, as I heard somebody before, was quoted as saying he directed his ass off in that film. He really did. And they had this, you know, mechanical shark, right, that they all kind of knew would not work if they used it so much.
Right.
It so happened that, you know, hiding the shark added to its aura.
Right.
So.
Makes it interesting for the unknown, you know, if they just showed that thing like a deep blue sea or something, it's like the fact that they use it sparingly and the shark only gets like a few minutes of screen time in the entire movie makes it better. And I feel like the movie, it wouldn't be as good with like a squid or something like that, but it really would still be a good movie with anything, because the movie's really just about the characters and the shark's kind of like an afterthought that like it's like the reason they're there,
right?
But it's really about like the chemistry. And that's why it'll never be duplicated or should ever be rebooted, or why the sequels all sucked compared to it, is you'll never have Roy Scheider, Robert Shaw, and Richard Dreyfuss at that age, at that time in history, like saying those things. I mean, it's perfect.
Did you ever see, this is going to seem off topic, did you ever see Saturday Night Live back in the day ran a bunch of, I guess it was like the 25th anniversary of Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
They ran all these skits on like casting.
Yeah.
Auditions. And I always think of this. They had Richard Dreyfuss.
Yep.
I think Daryl Hammond played him. And he was trying out for like a stormtrooper.
Yeah.
And like the audition was just like, stormtrooper, take one. And you know, the director guy was just like, who's in there? And he takes off the helmet and he's like, it's Richard Dreyfuss. God, I told you I didn't want to do this part. And then the director said something else to him and he was like, I don't need this. I was in Jaws.
That's one of my favorite sketches. And it's like a trivial part he's auditioning for. And they're like, you're not really bringing it, Richard. He's like, I was in Jaws. Yeah. You know? Oh, it's so good. It's so good. I like, I don't know, it's just Richard Dreyfuss's character in Jaws, Matt Hooper, is just some of the best lines. He's like, he's kind of smug, you know, but he is like a reasonable guy. And
right.
It's just like Roy Scheider's like the in between both of them. He's like salty, not as smart as Hooper, but he's not cynical really with like Quint. He's kind of like the voice of reason, trying to be. And Robert Shaw is just like out there on his own. But the one line, Jaws is one of those unintentionally like funny movies to me. I mean, not the movie as a whole, but like just the one-liners that you and I quote, like the, right, it's a 20-footer, 25, and you know, it's a tiger shark, a what? It's just, it's perfect. It's a long movie too, but it doesn't feel long.
It doesn't feel long.
No.
And God, man, it really kind of kickstarted a lot.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, people were making films that made money. Like, Spielberg, if anything, was the guy that kind of said, we can make money and make art. And,
yeah.
And, man, did he ever.
Right. I mean, that was the biggest selling, highest grossing film of all time until Star Wars came out a few years later. But it it was a blockbuster, and it was interesting because movies, good movies, really came out in the winter at that time, up until that point, and they let the crappy movies come out in the summer because most people were like outside. You know, it was like a different world than today. Like, people flocked outside in droves during the summer, and it wasn't a big time for movies, and that changed the game.
As far as shark movies go, do you like any other shark films?
Like, outside of the Jaws franchise?
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoy them. I have yet to see a good shark film since Jaws. I don't think there is any. But I enjoy, like, I'll watch Deep Blue Sea. I'll watch The Meg, because they know it's supposed to be cheesy, and they're not trying to be too serious with themselves.
What about something that's a little more character driven, like an Open Water or The Shallows, the one with Blake Lively?
Yeah,
I like that one.
I don't think I've seen The Shallows. I've seen Open Water though, and those are like fun. You know, I think they're good. I like the movie. It wasn't a shark; it was an alligator, but it was called I forget what it's called, but it's
Was it Lake Placid?
No, I do love Lake Placid though. Yeah. I love Lake Placid. I think it's just the right amount of cheese, and like, I love Bill Pullman and the guy from, you know, Brendan Gleeson.
Right.
Yeah, I just think that's a. I think Lake
Brendan
Placid
Gleeson is in that, isn't he?
Yeah, he's like the deputy.
Oh man, the mere thought of violence benumbs them.
Benumbs. It's such a good movie. I saw Lake Placid in the theater. I was so excited when that was like coming out. I'm like, it's about alligators. I had convinced like one friend to come with me, and I was like, this is the best ever.
Yeah.
How often do you revisit Jaws? Do you like go to it a lot? Or do you respect it?
Well, it's always my summer movie of choice.
Yeah.
It's not like a weird movie season for me because like, I kind of gear up for football not to sound like a ridiculous like football fanatic, but I sure as hell can be. So most of my late July and August is me watching old footage of whatever. My movie season tends to be between like December and like April.
Really?
That said, I always watch Jaws. And
yeah,
Turner Classic Movies will run every 4th of July in some order. Three musicals, Yankee Doodle Dandy, 1776, and The Music Men.
I love those movies. I haven't seen Yankee Doodle Dandy, but I love The Music Men.
Yeah,
and 1776.
It's a not so factitious account of Broadway. One of Broadway's like earlier stars, George M. Cohan.
Right.
And there's a lot of fun. It's just a lot of fun seeing James Cagney, Mr. like mafia, like mob movie guy, you know, dance around and singing. Like, it's just fun.
Yeah, it is fun. They're all those. I like to have those traditions there, you know, where you like go to them. I love The Music Man too. I love Buddy Hackett in there. He's like my favorite.
I love Buddy Hackett.
Yeah.
Jones.
Yep.
Fellow PA resident.
That's right.
Yeah. And you know, Robert Preston is just so. I even like the one that came out of about 20 years ago with Matthew Broderick and Kristen Chenoweth. They ran it on.
Oh, like, was that good? I didn't see it.
It was pretty decent. It wasn't the older one, but
they didn't have the same flair.
No. But they usually run that, and then I'll watch like a war movie or something. Honestly, I usually wind up watching Captain America the First Avenger, which is like a weird
No, that's good. I get it.
Pseudo World War II film, even though there's like, you know, aliens and extra, I guess there's not aliens, but there's, you know, mutants and Hydra.
Hydra. Yeah, there's a lot of Hydra going on in there. A
lot of Hydra.
I like the traditions, though, of doing them each year. Like, every July 4th, I'll watch, or around July 4th, I'll watch the same four, like, movies. I always watch The Patriot with Mel Gibson on July 4th for all of its flaws. Like, I love that movie. And then I'll watch Independence Day at some point around the holiday. And then I'll watch John Adams, the Declaration of Independence episode from HBO. And then, of course, Jaws. I usually kick it off with Jaws because, you know, in Jaws itself, they're very like, we're getting ready for the 4th of July and people are coming into town. Which, by the way, I have a movie question for you since you have all these great theories about movies. And maybe you can shed some light on this for me. Okay, so you're familiar with Amity Island in the movie Jaws.
Yes.
Now, their primary source of income, based on like every scene in the movie early on, is tourism dollars, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, aside from like some fishing, remember they're like, we're going to go bankrupt. The mayor goes, you know, this town, we need tourist dollars. This is how we survive. Like, they're all the shops are banking on tourist dollars, okay?
Right, it's one of those towns that's like there's like 1,000 people tops, and I mean, I read the book a few years back. It was pretty much how you're describing it, like, the Brodies kind of go into like a marital funk because of the fact that one of them is from and the other is from off the island. And they're now stuck on the island, so they don't really know what to do because there's nothing to do on the island outside.
Right, it's boring.
August.
And he doesn't like the water, so he's kind of stuck there. Okay, so Amity Island is based on tourist dollars, yet it's July 3rd, and they're like, we're going to get the summer deputies in, and the tourists are coming in. And then they show like the tourists coming in droves like after the 4th of July. Now, is that because that's when, like, tourists start coming there, or is that when they open them up? Because just from a financial point of view, I figure, like, Memorial Day is when they would want to start rolling in, getting people in there. July seems a late start to, like, a summer based on tourism. Like, if you think of Ocean City, New Jersey, that's a town built on people coming down the shore.
Right.
For the most part. I feel like July 4th would be a little late. You're only talking a month, 2 months maybe of income. I figure like May would be when they're pushing it. Is that because, you know, I don't know. Because remember, the summer deputies don't come in. It's only Brody and like his deputy
right
until then. So you figure there's not a lot of tourists coming in if there's only two cops. How does that work?
Like Wildwood, we went down there the one year for Memorial Day weekend. And kicking off summer and all. Well, what happens is Memorial Day weekend happens, and then the following week it's still school, at least in New Jersey and Pennsylvania and the tri-state area, right? So,
oh yeah, good point.
So a lot of the places close down, and a lot of the people that were there for the weekend go. But from then on, you know, like you were just saying, it's now summer, so come Thursday or Friday, everything back on the boardwalk is going to be open, and it's going to be like any other summer day in July or August. But by July 4th, they're in full summer mode. But on Memorial Day, they're just kind of kicking it off. Like Memorial Day weekend is happening, and then midway through June, they're still kind of picking up. So, yeah, I mean, if this bothers you that they were just kind of, I mean, I guess they had the shark attacks and now they had to kick up security and worry about the deputies and all that other stuff.
Right That makes sense, because they're,
you're right though,
the townspeople are worried.
I guess this might be just us digging into a movie that we've seen 300 times.
I think so.
But they are a beach town. This is their, so they should have outs for everything. Coastal flooding or anything like that that would derail them from getting the full income.
Yeah.
That they're going to use this income to get them through the winter.
Right. So
gonna
ante up your welfare the whole winter.
Right. If a shark attack were to happen or something, or just any kind of accident along the beach, you would think that they'd have the Coast Guard and the sheriff deputies and all ready for right. not scrounging around to get them on July 2nd to open on July 4th after they had a shark attack on like June 30th.
No, I agree with you. I think you're right. I'm not nitpicking the movie. I love the movie. I have no problem with Jaws. It's just, I always wondered that, like, they're built so much around tourism. Like, Memorial Day, I get it. School might be still in. Okay. But I feel like at least end of June, they'd be coming in. Or if people are going there for the 4th of July, they wouldn't be arriving on 4th of July unless they were coming in for the day.
Right.
So I don't know. But it's... I love the movie. It reminds me like of a Chappaquiddick or like any of those like Martha's Vineyard settings where it's the small town on an island. I love that stuff. You know, like I wish I could retire there and just like be a local that's like, I'm going down to the candy shop, you know? We don't want your kind around. No, I'm kidding. But like, I feel like those places that they don't take too kindly to like people that just move there. Yeah. It's like Maine, yet you're there forever. Or you're like, you're always a tourist.
I was in Maine. I guess it was kind of like that.
Was it? Yeah, Stephen King books always talk about that. They're always like, yeah, unless you were born here like five generations, you're always going to be like an out-of-towner kind of right. thing. And let me ask you this. In Jaws, there's one character in the whole franchise that didn't get eaten by the shark, but I really wish they did. And I don't know why I have such a fixation on not liking this character. But it's a small part. Do you remember Jaws 2? You've seen Jaws 2?
Yes.
You remember when they're bringing, like, the potential clients on the beach, like Ellen's boss and the council member to, like, get people to buy property there? And Brody's in the tower. And then they come up to the mayor. Is it Murray?
Murray Hamilton, the actor, or mayor?
Yeah, Murray Hamilton. What's the mayor's name? Larry?
Larry, yes.
Larry. It's some bad hat. The mother and the girl's like, what is that man doing up there? And they're like, oh, he's the chief of police. It's an observation deck. It looks for weather patterns. And that annoying little girl is like, no, he's not. He's looking for sharks. I saw it in Florida. He's looking for sharks. I'm like, that fucking little brat. You know, throw her in the water as chum. She's just so like, she's such a bad actress. And I'm like, it just ruins the whole pacing of that scene for me. I'm like, get her out of there. Scram.
Man, it's funny.
It's
funny they say that because I will watch Stranger Things later
at some point
the weekend. Another good summer film would have to be like The Sandlot.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's a classic.
Especially because it has the immortal Ray Charles, American the Beautiful in it. With a great scene of fireworks going off, and they're half mesmerized by the game they're playing, but then they're also taken with the fireworks. It's a great scene, and it's one of those scenes in kids
movies,
like you cherish as an adult.
Couldn't agree more.
But God, I try to give them the benefit of the doubt, but man, kid actors sometimes. They could be so tough to watch.
I know. And you watch them and you think like, oh, how many takes did this take for this kid to do? The final cut delivery is awful in this. I'm not singling anybody out. I'm just saying like you watch some of these movies and you're like, oh, the director probably said like, fuck it. We're using this. We wasted like an hour on this. You know what I mean? That's why they say kids and animals are like the worst things directors want to work with in Hollywood. Because animals are unpredictable, and kids, it's like working double hard to get kids like on screen to do their lines.
Like all the stories of Ross's monkey from Frank,
right?
Just basically the reason why it was like axed out of the show after season two or three or whatever the hell.
Yeah, like, they're like, we're not so doing this. So hard to like,
corral a fucking monkey into a sitcom. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, well, and what was the point of that whole story arc, too, you know?
I don't know. Ross had so much going on.
Yeah. Yeah, he was all over the place. But I agree with you on The Sandlot, and especially that scene. It's one of those scenes you watch as a kid, and, like, you kind of relate to it as a kid, and it's memorable. You know, and even Jaws to that degree. Like, you remember going to the shore as a kid, and it was exciting. And, I mean, it's still exciting, but that was, like, the big thing of the year. You're like, oh, we're going to the shore, like, July 22nd. You're like, you can't wait for that week. And yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Jersey Shore, too, is its own culture, I think, too. Like, obviously, there's coastline all around America, and people go there for vacation. But Jersey Shore is, like, an event. You know what I mean? Like, there's not that level of excitement in California. People don't go around going to the beach for a week. That just doesn't exist here. You know? It's like you go to the Jersey Shore. It's a destination built since, like, the 20s for that purpose or earlier. Like, it's amazing.
Yeah, and the funny thing, too, is it's not the easiest vacation. I'm sure you remember some of yours when you were here, but, I mean, you have, especially if you try to go down for the day, they're a little better now with the showering and stuff, but back in the day when I would go to Wildwood, there were no side street showers or anything.
No, I mean, no, we used to, like, if I went down there with a buddy for the day in, like, high school or something, we would just drive around and go to somebody's house, because, you know, there was on the outside, and we're like, there's no cars here, like, just walk through, and if anybody comes out, we'll just say we got lost, and I'm sorry, and then we never had a problem, but, like, yeah, it used to be, like, impossible to get showered there.
I cannot believe what I'm hearing. You hijacked someone's shower. I would never have to do that.
No, when I say shower, I don't mean I was in there with, like, soap and shampoo, like, singing and taking my time. It was, like, it could have been, like, a faucet. And I'm just, like, let's get, like, the sand off the feet, because I can't, like, operate with sand.
I think I did sing and shout and
did you?
and gargle.
You have a lovely voice. Somebody would probably be honored to be cooking a burger for dinner, and they hear you singing in the rain, and they see friendly Mike Tingle come out with a smile on his face.
Right? There I am at 21st and Ocean, just using somebody else's shower.
By the way, I just want to remind the listeners to follow Mike on Twitter at mting7. It is, and I'm not lying when I say this, it's Twitter gold. It's just gold. I could read your tweets all day, and I do. You're like talking about movies, and then like Jalen Hurts, and then like it's just great. It's like a gold mine of like great fun stuff.
I sometimes feel like I should apologize for the Jalen Hurts stuff, because
no way,
right? Because
it's all true.
I'm a pretty good quarterback judge, and I am also like a big Eagle fan. So I have the quarterback that I just don't see, and the team that I can't help but root for, and they go together.
Of course.
So I'm trying to convince myself that everyone that thinks he's going to get to, like, the winning level, that those people are right and I'm wrong. And we'll see.
You're working on it, and it works. But you should be able to and are allowed to criticize because you are an Eagles fan. The issue I have is when somebody who's not an Eagles fan, and I get a lot of this out here in L.A., it's like, oh, you guys like to hit the Santa with the snowballs. I'm like, yeah, it was 70 years ago. I wasn't alive yet. Or, yeah, Carson Wentz really shit the bed. I'm like, you're not a fan. But if you're a fan, it's your, like, rite of passage as a Philadelphia fan. You're expected to put them on a higher pedestal than other quarterbacks. And Jalen Hurts has not proved himself. And the fact that he's, like, trademarking his name and or whatever, it's like, come on, dude. Let's worry about getting the ball in the end zone, and then we'll worry about, like, all the off-field shenanigans.
And I'll say this. I mean, obviously, if you follow me on Twitter, you know that I am still a big Carson Wentz supporter.
Mm-hmm.
Because you simply don't pay a quarterback six figures and then draft somebody else to play his position. I don't care if he's been hurt before.
if you're going to give somebody that much money, you commit to him. If he was a problem before then, you should have not paid him and just gotten rid of him. You could have
probably... Right, shit or get off the pot.
Yeah. He was really good 3 years ago. You probably could have gotten 3 or 4 really high draft picks for him. You didn't. So you made your with them. And I just think, I don't know. There's this weird, like, Howie Roseman around here has kind of had like a resurgence. And I don't get it.
Why is he having a resurgence? Because there's like high hopes.
Yeah, because he always knows how to handle the salary cap, and then he made a couple moves this offseason as opposed to last offseason he didn't. So everyone thinks he's on the rise again, and I don't know.
They're crowbarring it in. I don't know. It's interesting though. I wanted to bring up too, just real quick, back to summer movies.
And we're talking football.
We can talk football. I'll talk football all day with you if you want. I love it.
She always laughs because, you know, she'll see me on the phone or whatever. She'll be like, "What are you doing?" Or she'll watch me watching like Good Morning Football or something, and she'll be like, "There's no football on now." And my patented answer is always, "There's always football."
That's true though. I'll do the same thing. I'll watch like NFL films and stuff, even older ones. Mm-hmm. In like the off season and like highlights, and like my wife's like cousin was over not too long ago, and he's like, "What are you? This is not like recent." I was like, "No, it's not. No, it's not." And then he started watching it, and there was like silence in the room because we were all like fixated. You can do that with football. You can't do that with baseball unless you're watching like home run highlights from like Jimmy Rollins or something. Baseball doesn't have the same energy. Football, even if you don't like the team, you can watch like great replays, and it's like. You get lost in it, at least for me.
Baseball can get really intense, but like,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's also the ultimate background. So like, it's on right now in my house. I just don't have the sound on, and I'm not really paying much attention to it because, you know, I'm talking to you. But like, I
need it
that with football. Like, if the Eagles were on right now, you know, I'd barely be talking to anyone in the house, and if the dogs were bugging me, they would just be like shoved outside, you know, because
you have to focus on football and you need it. And that's what baseball is like perfect for too, is background. Like any family event I've ever been to inside during the summer months, it's always a game on, and like, you kind of watch it, you check the score. But if it's like a winter family event on like a Sunday and there's like a game on, people are like, you know, parked on the couch and you're like watching, you know, and it's like, they're two different dichotomies. Like, you have to pay attention to football.
Yeah.
I mean, you pay attention to baseball, obviously, but you can look at it in a second and realize what's going on where football.
Those are my two go-tos. I'm a big hockey fan too, but.
Oh, really?
Like basketball, if the Sixers aren't flying high, I could really care less about the NBA. I was a big NBA.
I'm with you.
Yeah, but I'm just not a huge NBA fan now.
I'm with you, man. If the Sixers are doing well like they did this past season, I'm all in. I'm watching the game on like a Monday night. I'm not distracted. It's great. But if they're like shit in the bed and there's nothing going on, I won't really. It's not that exciting to me. Hockey, though, is nonstop. Hockey live. Like, I mean, in person at a game is like, I think, the best ever.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
It's like cold, you know, you're waiting for like a fight. It's like, it's just intense, you know, there's no boring moments. Everyone's just flying. I want to ask you, King Tingle, I have a list here. Would you agree with these for best summer movies? Would you put Vacation and like Great Outdoors up there? In there? Great Vacation, Outdoors. Right? Come on.
I think Vacation gets a little more recognition than Great Outdoors does. But I think a lot of people also forget about the original Vacation because they're all fascinated with Christmas Vacation, which is fine.
That's true. Vacation, yeah, it's a better movie.
But, you know, Vacation started it all. Even European Vacation has its good points, you know?
Yeah, Stonehenge. Like, he ruins Stonehenge. Like, it's ridiculous. It's hilarious.
Okay. Big Ben, Parliament.
Big Ben, Parliament. Okay. I love Vacation when, is it Randy Quaid gives him the ketchup? And he's like, oh, is this homemade ketchup? It's like, nothing but the best for you. Yeah. And it's just like, squeeze ketchup innards. And it's like, nothing but the best. Ooh.
That's, my father quotes that all the time.
Really?
Real tomato ketchup, Wayne? Oh, nothing but the best for you, Clark.
Yeah, my parents quote that a lot, too. They don't say the ketchup thing, but they just throw in nothing but the best. I'd be like, oh, we're having London broil. They're like, nothing but the best, Maddie. You know, like, it's one of those things that we'll always say to each other.
I love the messed up quotes from those kind of, like, fun. You know, these are fun, like, little family movies, and then you get stuff like, I have French kissed, so everyone does that. Yeah, but Daddy says I'm the best.
That's a crowbarred in line from left field. When you hear that and you watch it, you're like, what the fuck? But I'm the best. Yeah, and they don't revisit that. That doesn't become like a recurring thing. It's just like thrown in there and you're like, whoa, what was that? And then it's like never mentioned again. It's hilarious. I also lump in, what's that?
I was just going to say, why don't you just ask him for the money, Eddie? I'll lend you the money, Eddie. How much do you need? About $48,000.
Puts the wallet away.
It was wallet, thinking he's giving them like a couple hundred bucks.
Yeah, and he quickly puts it away. That is a gem. And anyone can relate to that movie that's been on a cross-country vacation or even, you know, vacation with your family where you have to drive somewhere. You're like, there's all this like stuff that comes up regardless of where you're going. It's just funny.
And I guess Clark is pretty good at doing this in like all his movies, but they try to sandwich in a lot on a drive. See, I see a trip like that, and I just think, get there. You know,
right? Meanwhile, yeah, he's just get there.
You know, what's he trying to hit up the world's largest ball of yarn and you know stuff like
he tries to hit it's anything he found in the roadmap of places of interest on the way. He's like, we need to go there. You know, it was like every detour you could take to see something that's like not that even interesting, it was on the agenda,
which is like awesome.
Yeah time,
like I don't really operate like that, because I know usually those kind of trips just go off the reservation. Like right. No. Like go point A to point B, sidestep once or twice. Don't sidestep 15 times because something's going to happen.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it, too, is because stuff's going to come up.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I do that. We'll take, like, mini vacations. Like, we'll go to San Diego or, like, San Francisco, and she'll try to pack everything in. Like, okay, we can go to Alcatraz at 8, and then we'll see Fisherman's Wharf at 9. And I'm like, I always know, like, you know, things are going to be twice as long as you think they are. With like traffic and just the way things are. So let's like aim for one and we'll play it by ear. And usually we do like a hybrid of the two. Like I'll give her like one thing she really wants to do and we'll try to do all of them, but like things just take longer, you know?
Right.
Like San Diego, it's like Padres game, gas lamp. And then there's like one other thing. And it's like, I don't know if we're going to be able to hit all three. But we'll be exhausted, and like usually we try, so it's like a good hybrid. But yeah, you're right, like things pop up and they get sidetracked.
San Diego,
whale's vagina.
French call a whale's vagina.
Discovered by the Germans in 1903, they called it Santiago, which means whale's vagina. No, that's absolutely not true. Doesn't it mean Saint Diego?
No.
Agree to disagree. When in Rome. You know what? Summer movie I lump in. It's not a traditional summer movie. I mean, The Great Outdoors, Sandlot, all those are like traditional. But Jurassic Park, I lump in with like a must-watch summer movie. And yes, I think because you know when it came out.
Because I think it was one of those summer blockbusters. And that's when I, as a kid, saw it in the theater.
Yeah, so right. So I don't
consider it a summer movie. honestly, it took me, I don't even know where the hell this thing is anymore. Up Street Road, I think, heading towards Warminster, there used to be a drive-in theater.
Yeah, that's where I saw Jurassic Park.
Okay, so yeah, it is up that way. Yeah. And I saw a bunch, we used to go up there like a lot in the summer. And I remember a lot of random movies would be shown that are not necessarily summer movies, but I lumped them into the summer because I saw them there. Like Hocus Pocus.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, my wife and kids love that film. And
it's a great movie.
To me, it's a summer film because I saw it in the summer. But it's also, you know, a Halloween film.
Yeah, yeah. But because you saw it there in the summer, it's
right
in your brain. It's like a summer movie. There used to be two drive-ins. There was one on like 611 and one, I think like 309 or something. There was like two in like Bucks County, Montgomery area. And right. I remember I used to go with my parents a lot to the drive-in on like Street Road or something. And it was where like Wegmans is now. And it used to be like we saw Jurassic Park there, saw like Rookie of the Year, stuff like that. And I was always like excited to go. And I remember thinking like, oh, when I'm 16, this is going to be great to like drive a car there. And they closed it like when we were like 14 or 15. I'm like, oh, shit, that would have been so cool. Imagine like drinking a beer there when you're like 18 with like your friends. Like it would have been awesome.
It would have been awesome. And you're right. That was it. Street Road in Easton, where that Wegmans is now.
Yeah, yeah, it used to be. And you could drive on there. I remember driving like with my parents just past there, and you would see like a movie playing in the distance. It was like exciting.
And that was another one I saw. I saw Rookie of the Year there.
Rookie of the Year, yeah. Henry Rowan Gardner. Do you ever revisit that?
I haven't seen it on TV in a while.
It's been, it's not on very much.
But I mean,
You remember?
It was quite the gem.
It was a gem. Remember, was Gary Busey? He was the Rocket. Was he supposed to be like a Roger Clemens? No, Roger Clemens would have been in his prime then. He was supposed to be like a spoof of somebody, right?
Yeah, that was whatever we believe pre-steroid Roger Clemens.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was like early 90s. He was still with the Red Sox then, I think, right?
Yeah.
So
I forget who he was supposed to be, but I think he was supposed to be like a spoof of somebody. Because wasn't Roger Clemens' nickname the Rocket?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe it was a hybrid. I wanted to ask you, I don't know, this is to me like top five summer movies, and I never asked you if you like it or seen it, but Stand By Me, have you watched it?
Well, that's a good summer film.
Yeah, it's coming of age. It's it works.
And it again has Richard Dreyfuss in it.
Yeah, right.
He
died almost instantly.
And Kiefer Sutherland.
Yeah. Oh, I understand. Get your ass in the car. Lard ass. Pez, cherry flavored Pez.
Me anymore.
What's that?
They don't make them like Stand By Me anymore.
No, that's a classic.
And yeah, that's another, it's a summer movie because it looks hot. These kids are just, you know, that's kind of what you did in the summer, wasn't it? It was just, you know, meet up with your buddies and like, you know, cruise around town until you got too hot to go home.
Yeah. Yeah. You just got on the bikes and off you went into the woods and get some ticks on you or whatever. And then you like, you go. Us growing up in the summer, like kids in the neighborhood that went to the same school, there was always like different houses. Like we picked on different days. It was like, we're going to go to Bobby's house and use the pool all day tomorrow. And that was like fine. The next day it was like Clark's basement, Nintendo. There was like meetup spots. It was like, you know, it was like without saying, it's like, oh, so we'll see you tomorrow at 8:00. And everyone like went to the woods or something. You know, there was something like cool about that growing up in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Kids don't understand anymore. Not just an old curmudgeon, but
I feel like you should embrace a curmudgeon kind of character. Not that you're curmudgeon-y or anything, but because you're so good at movies and acting, you should be that guy that just shows up in the woods and is like, you squirrely kids, get out, you know, or like, I'm going to call your parents, you know, I know where all you live. Why is Mr. Tingle always just in the woods raking things?
I like that guy from Friday the 13th. You kids back in my yard again.
Back in my yard again.
Rather you not be in my yard. I got to always tell you folks.
You know, Friday the 13th is a summer movie, a horror movie. Yeah. I'll tell you folks. Back in my yard again. Oh, what are you?
It's funny too, like baseball films, kind of like The Sandlot to me is a summer film, but a lot of the other baseball films I tend to watch at the beginning of baseball. Summer films to me have like beaches and like, you know, war battles and
yeah,
like a lot of some people consider the school films. Maybe the school films that are centered mostly around like getting out of school. Like, I guess I consider Dazed and Confused a summer film.
Yeah,
but I don't consider Grease. I saw Grease on one of those top summer film lists before. And see, this is—I don't know if you'll agree with me on this, but Grease to me is always a New Year's movie because it was always run on New Year's.
Yes, it is.
TBS and TNT and stuff, but they always have these great movie lineups on like New Year's Eve and New Year's Day to like get you through, along with like a Twilight Zone marathon or whatever.
Oh, the best.
Right?
I agree.
So Grease to me was a winter movie.
Yeah, and I saw that too. I mean, I've seen the movie, but I saw that on those lists. They're like Grease. And I'm always like, no, I consider like Dazed and Confused a summer movie, where I don't consider American Pie one because they're still like in school.
Right.
I know it's like the end of the year, but like they're still in school. It's not a summer movie. But Dazed and Confused, it's like summer's beginning. Let's all get drunk in the park.
Yeah.
So.
That's one of the better high school films.
Yeah.
Another one of those genres, like with the kid actors. You know, high school films can really kind of go this way or that way. You know, like.
Yeah. And they can age bad too sometimes.
Yeah. Like for every Dazed and Confused or Can't Hardly Wait, there's like something else.
There's something where you're like, no, I'm not buying it. I'm not watching this again. I do like the American Pie movies, at least the first one. I thought it was fresh and like fun, but it's not like a summer movie.
Right.
Typically. I did just watch Dazed and Confused again. It was the first time in a while. It was a nice breath of fresh air. I haven't seen that in years. So I was like, it's still pretty good. It's still pretty funny.
Yeah, it's a good movie because now it's what? It came out around 93, 94.
Yeah.
So now it's 25 years old and you're watching these young guys, you know, like obviously the Affleck and the McConaughey, but now you know, Cole Hauser's in it from Yellowstone, and
yeah,
the girls that are in it, like Joey Lauren Adams and Parker Posey and Mila Jovovich, the girl from all the Resident Evil movies.
Yeah, she's in it. Like, there's even a cameo by Renee Zellweger's in there, if you don't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of the films I'll always go back to. It's just a fun watch.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a fun watch. And it's like, I just some of the lines is great. Like when Ben Affleck gets like the paint all over him, he's just like, shit! Shit. And he's like, and then he gets in his car with like paint dripping off him, and you know, when the kids having the parents are getting ready to leave for the weekend, and the dad realizes he's having a party, he's like, unpack your bags, we're not going anywhere this weekend. And they're like, you're like, oh, I remember that. You know, when the parents would go away for the weekend, I started salivating, and I'm just like, yeah, I'll probably just like, I always blow it. I'm always like, yeah, I'll probably just like do something like school stuff? And they're like, it's June. And I'm like, yeah, just go away, please. And they're like, yeah, and Donna's going to stay here.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
My parents never went anywhere back in the day. And they I remember that the one time late in high school, they had decided to go away to Washington, D.C. for like a weekend, which, as you know, is only about 2 hours away from Philadelphia.
Yeah. We've
been there before on day trips and all. So naturally, even though they, you know, had a hotel room booked at all, they came home that night.
Oh, and, no.
You know, shocked. I mean, there wasn't much going on, but there was people at the house that weren't supposed to be there, and
yeah,
and that were, you know, party over, body poopa,
and right, get out.
So I felt, yeah, I kind of think of that whenever I see that, the Dazed and Confused. Where the dad brings, oh, this guy outside has this keg of beer. He says it's for you. What? I'll go talk to him.
Yeah, that scene's always funny. It's like, what? That's crazy. I'll go talk to him. Like, he just kept his cool the whole time. Like, I would lose it if, like, a beer showed up when my parents were still home. What do I do? You know? That happened to me a few times. I never had crazy parties when my parents were gone. Maybe once. But I was always kind of I was always paranoid. If I did like an open house, somebody's going to steal something I don't know or ruin something I can't fix. Like, I just didn't want that kind of like worry in my life. So I always kept it to like five or six friends and like, we're just going to get drunk. Maybe have a girl or two over. That's fine. But there was one time I had this party and there was so much beer and like beer cans and shots, and I cleaned everything up and I hung over. I threw it in the trash can. I was like, I'll get it later. I fell asleep. And slept like all afternoon. My parents came home and they saw the recyclables and there was like 100 beer cans in there. And I was like, shit. Like, I had everything buttoned up, clean. It was like that one stupid mistake, like, got me. So I tried to like not do that much because I didn't trust myself. You know, I was like, I'm going to get drunk and do something stupid's going to happen.
Yeah. It's the luck, you know. I think luck plays into a lot of those things because you always knew that guy who could throw those parties and always get away with it.
Always. There was always that one person and you're like, how do you do this?
Right.
See, my house too, my parents were friends with like the neighbors. So I always had to tell people to like park up the street and walk. It was like an inconvenience because we lived in like a long street. It wasn't like a big neighborhood. It was like a one street kind of neighborhood. So right. There's a lot of cars down there. They're going to know who it is and they'll hear music. So I always had to keep it like, you know, coming through the back door and we'll go downstairs. It almost like wasn't worth it. I was just so paranoid of somebody like, you know, getting caught.
Understandable.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful. Something like this. Listen here. Oh, beautiful, far spacious skies, far amber.